What do today's fastest growing direct consumer brands all have in common? They use Klaviyo to personalize their marketing, build their customer relationships, and automate their online sales. Whether it's a new subscriber or your most loyal customer, growing your e-commerce business starts with creating amazing marketing experiences. Discover winning marketing strategies in Klaviyo's new video series, Ready, Set, Grow. Each week, you'll explore key tactics of some of Klaviyo's more than 17,000 customers who use these to grow their business. To tune in to Ready, Set, Grow, and to receive even more helpful content, visit klaviyo.com/blend. That's klaviyo.com/blend. Well, hello and welcome to the next episode of Shutterfly Across the Pond. I'm really excited today to welcome Rumen Dimitrov to our podcast. And Rumen is someone that I've known for a short period of time now, but someone I'm very interested to introduce you to. So Rumen, I'd just obviously like to welcome you to Shutterfly Across the Pond. Rather than me explain, obviously, what it is that you do, if you could tell the listeners a little bit about yourself and what it is that you do within the Shopify community.
12 years ago, me and a friend wanted to do an e-commerce store for my parents' business. We are selling cakes and other bakery stuff. So we decided as true developers that we should code it from scratch. A few months later, nothing was done. We were over time, over budget, and over everything and overburned, and we put that project aside. A few years later, I decided that that's not the way the pros do it. If you were to code a website from scratch every time you wanted to create a website, that would be bad for business. So I looked into e-commerce systems and I stumbled upon OpenCart. And in my hopes of actually finishing my initial project of making an online store for my parents, I actually created a mobile team for OpenCart. This was back in 2011, and the mobile traffic was just starting to grow, and that platform was missing on the mobile team. So all of their teams were pretty slow, and that's what got me into optimizing for mobile and for speed. A few years later, I decided to switch to Shopify exclusively because the platform provided what I thought was a good foundation for better work.
No, absolutely. And I suppose, you know, in terms of Shopify, I guess it's kind of been that growth, hasn't it? The massive growth that is still going on with Shopify, which is, you know, I think probably quite attractive to all of us who work with Shopify, obviously, you know, our listeners as well.
Shopify was growing fast, and I decided that I could get my hands on more interesting problems this way. Because in an open source platform, people who want to use it for free get it for free, and most of the stores usually don't sell even a single piece of product.
Absolutely. And I think, yeah, that's, I think just generally probably for our listeners as well, that's kind of a massive pull of obviously joining Shopify and being part of it. Okay, look, well, that's great. I think a really good introduction, obviously, to yourself and sort of how you got involved. What I wanted to do is, I think kind of dive directly in, if it's okay, and kind of use some of your expertise in terms of speed optimization. Because I know there's going to be a lot of listeners out there who are very conscious about the speed of the Shopify store. You know, we're always hearing, you know, information about, you know, how we need to make sure that our store's faster, you know, and kind of, you know, it's the fact that it's really important. I suppose, Nid, that the point that I wanted to ask you is that, can you kind of explain to us why speed is such an important factor when you're thinking about creating your Shopify store?
There are a number of reasons why speed is important. But first, let me tell you again a short story. Last week, we had a board game night. We ordered Chinese, and 2 hours later, it still haven't come. Needless to say, we all decided not to order from that same restaurant again. So it's the same when you're trying to access a website. It takes too much time. And in the process, you get discouraged, you get bored, or you decide that you should spend your time somewhere else. So nobody likes waiting. And people reduce the value of things the further they are in the future. So when it's hard to get to a certain site, most people will give up. And there is research to back that up.
So Ruben, I think that's a really good analogy, you know, about kind of waiting for the Chinese and the importance of it. And I think that kind of puts into really good context. I think the other question too is, you know, are there any stats out there that show the importance of speed, or any sort of specific information that really illustrates it for you?
Well, there are plenty of stats, but I'll spare you the spelling of all the numbers and percentages, and I'll just list some of the most important ones. Amazon and Walmart observed 10% of increase of revenue for every second of improved web page speed. And in a recent research by Google, I guess it was published last summer before they introduced the mobile first index, they analyzed around 11 million landing pages for their ads. And they noticed that the bounce rate goes up 120% the moment the page load goes from 1 to 10 seconds.
Wow.
So when we take the bounce rate and the conversion rate into account, we can see that slower sites are making less money. Mm-hmm. And if you are new into e-commerce, you cannot afford to have a slow website because you have many other problems at hand that you need to solve.
Absolutely. No, I think that's really interesting. And I think when it's important, you know, that we kind of, I guess, think about it in those terms, in terms of sales and revenue, because ultimately that's what we're doing it for as a business. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, that's a really, you know, good way of looking at it rather than just kind of saying, look, we need our site to be quicker. I suppose, you know, the question is, you know, that if we have listeners out there, you know, who are Shopify merchants who are just starting out, you know, I think setting up their store at full speed is probably not something, I guess, that people focus on straight away. But would you kind of say you see any common mistakes that people make when they set up a theme and kind of the impact on speed? Is there anything that you kind of see time and time again that people do incorrectly, or maybe that they could change their approach to make their initial setup of their theme faster?
Oh, when people are starting, usually they don't think about speed. And rather they think about how can I please the customer? And because they don't know much about the customer, they're trying to please them by offering everything. So in such a way, the team options are their best enemy at that time. What I've seen is long home pages with all the widgets available of slideshows, Instagram feeds, and so many others. So if I want to collapse them to my top five, the slideshow is the thing that should go away. The Instagram widget should not be on every page. And you should definitely check if the newly introduced dynamic checkout buttons are really needed, because the slideshow can easily add around 2 to 3 megabytes to your total page weight. The Instagram widgets, I've tested a number of them, they also add 2 to 3 megabytes, and this can be shaved only after technical work on them. And the dynamic checkout button loads a number of payment scripts, which also slow the page a lot.
That's really interesting. And I think, you know, if we probably look at a number of different Shopify stores, we probably see a lot of those things being used on, you know, probably new stores and, I guess, existing stores. So I think, you know, that's really good food for thought. And obviously for listeners out there with the Shopify stores, looking at those three things, yeah, they might be certainly worth a good starting point to look at the impact of what's happening. From that perspective of slideshows, I mean, is there a way that, you know, for example, you mentioned slideshows there are quite heavy in terms of the time they add on page load. Is there a way of, I guess, kind of you would recommend of testing that? So basically, you know, sort of looking at whether it is worthwhile having that slideshow versus not having it. Because obviously, you know, you might argue, well, if someone's listening out there, well, look, the slideshow, I feel that maybe, you know, shows my customers our products. But on the other hand, obviously, there is the issue of speed. Is there a good way that you can kind of recommend that our listeners can test that as to work out what they should do?
Let's talk about principles first. Mm. The slideshows are generally considered bad practice because they don't give time to people to focus on the offer that you are presenting them. Mm. Let's assume that people do focus on the offers. You can measure what is the most visited step after the homepage in Google Analytics and see which of the slides is actually triggering more clicks. And then you can remove all the rest and leave the most performing one. If you cannot do that in Google Analytics, there is an app called Wacky Orange, which is tracking the behavior of your visitors and where they tap or click on the screen. And by running it for a couple of days, or better, weeks, you can see if anybody actually clicks on that initial slideshow offer. Most of the people just scroll down because they assume that the slideshow image is just to set the tone of the store and to explain what the store is about.
Yep.
And sadly, store owners don't think of slideshows this way, but their goal should be that.
Excellent. I think that's really good practical advice, and I think it's something that our listeners could definitely do probably right after listening to this podcast, is going to check if they have a slideshow, of looking at actually what that data is, because I suppose, you know, it'd be very interesting is that you saw, you know, sort of a very high percentage of one of those particular slides being where the majority of the traffic goes through. Like you say, you know, it makes logical sense then to just include that. So look, I think that's a great piece of advice. I mean, the other kind of question then, probably kind of following on from that, I want to ask you is also about apps, because obviously, you know, we're thinking about the different elements of a site. Now, I'm pretty sure that kind of when I mention apps, I know what you're going to say about them. Because, you know, it's, look, when we think about apps, obviously we know in the app store that we've kind of, you know, got, I think now sort of about 2,500 apps there. You know, yes, okay, they're convenient. Some of them are low cost. But obviously, you know, we know they have an impact on speed. What is kind of, from, you know, as a speed expert, what is your opinion on apps? And how often do you see the apps cause an issue with respect to speed on a site?
Oh, okay, my opinion on apps is that they cost you more than you pay for them, especially if they're free. Mm. So if you take into account the total missed opportunity by them slowing down your store, you'll see that an app can cost you hundreds a month or more. This is revealed after deeper analysis, but it's better to assume the following position regarding apps. Assume that the moment you install it, it's going to cost money and probably stop any additional orders from coming in. So unless if it is truly, truly, truly important, you shouldn't have that app there. Mm-hmm. If it is something that is improving the look and feel on your store, you can definitely have it custom coded for you for a couple hundred bucks that you're going to save from not having the app in the following weeks or months. So as you can see, my position is that the apps are one of the major speed offenders that we don't have any control over. Because when a client comes and tells me, okay, please speed up my store. It's too slow. I cannot touch the apps because they're on a different server. The customer, the client is managing them. So the only thing I can do is help the visitors load the apps a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. So I'm opening a parenthesis here. Why are apps actually slow? Because they're loading many more files on your store than you have in your existing team. And loading of these additional files from servers which are sometimes nowhere near the speed of Shopify CDN slows down the whole experience of the website. Yes, people say that apps are loaded asynchronously and so on, but no, I don't buy that. I mean, yes, they are loaded like that, but the amount of code that is being loaded is slowing down the mobile of the visitor because mm-hmm. all of the code needs to be processed. And on a device with limited processing power, that processing leaves no more processing time for displaying or interacting with the web page. That's why we see a huge slowdown on mobile when a website is being loaded. Half of it is processing the code, and the other half is because of the slow network.
Right. And I mean, the thing in terms of apps, have you had any experiences where you've had a client who's come to you and you've taken off maybe one or two apps or even a whole bunch of apps, and that's had a massive impact on their conversion rate? Have you got any kind of specific examples of when that's happened? I mean, obviously, I wouldn't expect you to tell us which apps they were, but just kind of wondered, putting it into context for our listeners, have you had any situations where you've taken apps off and you've seen a massive change in terms of the conversion on stores?
I can only speak about their impact on the speed. And based on the stats I told you before, we can expect that this has definitely lifted the conversion rate of the store. So there is something on my tongue that I want to get out, which is the zombie code of apps, which is a bigger problem because as a new store owner, you may want to experiment and install most of the free apps on the from the Shopify App Store on your store. And then when you uninstall them, you are left with code that a typical store owner cannot find, but it's alive on the website and loading different libraries that are not being used, tracking scripts and fonts and whatnot. Removing these gives a huge boost to the speed. And yes, back to your original question, removing some apps because of their poor implementation definitely speeded up the stores I've worked on.
I think that's really good advice. And I think, one thing I think that probably we don't automatically think of is, that when we take an app off the store, the fact that there is still code on there, and I'm sure for some of our listeners, you're kind of thinking, look, I'm maybe a little bit concerned about that kind of zombie code that you mentioned. Is there, in terms of kind of finding that, is there an easy way to track that down? Or would you recommend kind of consulting with a developer? What's the best way to get that cleaned up, essentially?
Sadly, everything is easy before you do it. I mean, you can easily measure the performance hit of an app on your page load time. If you don't install it, test your website, then install it, and test your website again. Mm-hmm. But actually determining which app is slowing down your store the most, I haven't found an intuitive way for a non-technical person to spot that and have a valid conclusion at the end that, yes, this app is the biggest speed offender I'm seeing now. So definitely, if you're listening to this before installing any apps, test, install, then test again. And you're going to see if an app is slowing your website way more than you expected, just for a, let's say, free shipping bar or something that you don't think is that important to slow your website for 3 or 5 seconds.
Perfect. I think, so I guess what your message there is, you know, it's more about kind of, you know, making sure you evaluate whether you really need the apps, kind of, you know, prevention rather than cure, and making those decisions early rather than kind of, you know, as you say, putting lots and lots of apps on and then going back and deleting them at a later date. So I think that's, again, great advice. I mean, the other, I guess, point that I wanted to ask you about too then, just with speed, is that, you know, we, because obviously, you know, we work without the sandbox themes, and obviously, you know, they benefit from features like lazy load. And obviously that doesn't always reflect very well when it comes to kind of the Google scores in terms of testing speed. From your opinion, you know, is there a better way for Shopify merchants to test speed of their site? I mean, whether, you know, particular processes or particular tools. I just kind of wondered, you know, from your opinion too, is there anything there that users could or Shopify merchants can do as an alternative to using the Google Speed Checker?
Yes, there is. And let me go into why the tools are different first. Mm. Because all of the popular tools like Pingdom, the free tool that you can access from your browser, GT Metrics, and Google PageSpeed Insights are all synthetic benchmarks. I call them this way. They like to call them lab testing. So they're testing in pretty strict conditions, and they're trying to emulate what your visitor is going to feel like loading your website and then score your website based on that. But this is vastly different from field testing, which is testing with real people. And because we're talking about online business, you cannot go and test with all of your visitors, but actually you can. There are a number of options here. So to close the parenthesis on the lab testing versus field testing, lab testing should be left to developers. I use the lab testing tools, the GT Metrics, Pingdom, and Google PageSpeed Insights as a checklist what needs to be fixed with the website. But in order to see how your target customers are really loading the website, you need to see actual real user measurements. There are a number of ways to get access to these, which I was quite astonished to find that Google Analytics, by default, samples the speed of your visitors. So let's say you get 10,000 visitors a month. Google Analytics is going to save 1% of that, which is around 100 data points, which are not very representative, or they don't give you the whole picture. So there is a way you can see your page speed in Google Analytics under behavior site speed, and then you can look at overview, which is average page load time or something like that it was called. This data is way better than running a test, and Shopify fixes that the low sampling rate by bumping up the sampling rate to 10%. So instead of getting just 100 data points with your 10,000 monthly visitors, you're getting 1,000 data points. And with a client right now, we're using that to measure how my work is improving the speed of their website, not how the GT Metrics test perceives it. There is another option. There is a site called Think with Google, where you can enter your URL and you get a speed index. The problem with that, because I've seen the hype about that too amongst many merchants, is that the data there is 5 to 6 months old. Right. But there is something good. The data is an accumulation of all people using Chrome browsers on their devices who have opted in sharing anonymous data back to Google. So there is a way to access your last month's data, which is pretty complicated, but we can link to an article in the show notes. And the last tool that I highly recommend is Pingdom. There is a visitor insights section there, which actually measures the speed of loading for every visitor. They put a small snippet on your website, and they just track the time between loading, starting the load of the page, and the total load. And they claim to have the most accurate data. And I don't like it because of the accuracy, but because of the sampling rate. They measure 100% of your traffic. And the problem with the sampling rate is that while some of your customers may be using 4G, other may be at home and using gigabit Wi-Fi. Mm-hmm. Others may be in an elevator with the fastest, latest flagship model, but on a limited 3G connectivity. For a different merchant, most of the people may be in their offices on a fiber connection. So you should know your target customers, mm-hmm, and cater to them. If your website is fast enough for them, you're okay for now, unless someone makes a better, faster website in your niche.
Mm. Good advice. So again, you know, I think like saying, sort of make sure that you look at where your traffic is coming from in terms of device and connection type. And then off the back of that, then making sure that it, from a speed perspective, whichever tools you decide to use, that it is kind of working the best for, I guess, your biggest target audience, essentially. And Rimmon, that would be great. As I said, if I could grab those that information from you, and we'll include that in the show notes just so that our listeners have access to that. So guys, if you're listening and you want those resources that Rimmon mentioned there, I'll make sure that they're included too. Okay, perfect. Well, what I wanted to go on to next, Rimmon, is really, I think, you know, as we kind of come towards the kind of closing point of our podcast, is there'll be a lot of people out there kind of thinking, obviously, about speed. And obviously, you know, there is, of course, there is always a lot to do on obviously, a Shopify store. But would you be able to kind of give us three top tips for optimizing speed on a Shopify store?
Yes. Something that I've missed before is you should definitely remove the quick view or quick shop option of your team. The problem with that is that it nearly doubles the page weight and the resources needed to load your homepage or your collection page. And the problem with the quick view is on every page where you are listing products, which means that on your product page, if you have related products and you have quick view on, you're actually loading double the related products. So quick view is a must. Turn it off. You won't see a difference in people shopping less, because most of the implementations of quick view are very poorly created. So that's the current state. Turn it off. Unless you hear from someone that knows their stuff that quick view is a must and turns conversions up.
Great.
The second tip, as we mentioned, remove your slideshow. And in the out of the sandbox teams, after you remove the slideshow, because the slideshow is not a mandatory element for your homepage, you can replace it with a section called image with text overlay. It looks exactly the same as the slideshow, but removes all the slideshow code that is no longer necessary when you're not having any sliding images. Then, after you've seen which of the promos you want to feature, one of the promos you want to feature, you can put that instead of the sliding three or five images you've got.
Thanks.
And the third tip, remove all the apps that you're not using.
Excellent. So I think, you know, the message from you there is clear. It's about making sure that in terms of a Shopify store, that you're very clear in terms of the things that absolutely you are using Making sure from the outset, I guess, you know, that you are doing that prior planning to really make sure that obviously you understand your customer and what their needs are. And then obviously at the back of that, then making sure that we're getting rid of those unnecessary features on our stores to make sure they're as fast as possible. So look, I think that's really, really great advice. I think what we'll do as Wire Room is that we'll include those tips, just probably again in the information below the podcast too. Ruben, I think just last but not least, what would be great to is that obviously if our listeners want to find more about you and what you do, where's the best place for them to go and find out more?
Well, the best way to get in touch is to visit my website at boostmystore.com, and you can use the contact form or the email on that page and send me a message. Tell me what do you think of this episode. Tell me what are the problems you're facing with your store, and we can discuss.
Excellent. That's great. Well, look, guys, I hope this has been a really useful podcast for you today. I'd like to say a massive thanks to Ruben for obviously giving us your time and talking us through some of those key points. Please do stay tuned to the Shopify Across the Pond podcast, and we'll be out next week with our next guest. Cheers, guys.